Okay, we're ready. Tonight, continuing in our discussion about Joel, how's that look? I mean, just you look at the little window there. Is it like?
Yeah, just don't move.
talking about biblical basics or Bible basics for Christian living, not theology, but just basics for living the Christian life. What I've handed out to you tonight is a set of notes on the kingdom principle of asking. It's something that is very scriptural. Very important, and many of us have used this once in a while in our lives, but it's a principle that as we look at this, asking God for something is crucial in our lives. It takes us from being, if you want to say, average with our own self-sufficiency, and takes us to a place where God is pouring into our lives and providing for us and accomplishing His will. So many things come into this, and right away asking, it's like, well, I want to be humble. Yeah, we're probably the same person that doesn't want any rewards in heaven. It's all going to work out fine just for you. I don't want to ask, and I don't want to get any rewards. Well, they go together. Meaning, if you're going to have to ask and receive some of the things from God for you to be empowered to do what God's called you to do, and that will result in rewards. So there's no humility in this in the sense of, well, I'm not going to ask. It's kind of a, if you're going to survive, you better be asking. So let's bow our heads. I'll pray, and we'll get started. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We do ask that you may continue to lead us and guide us, that we may find truth to apply to our lives, that we may become the people you want us to be at this time in history. Again, Father, we ask that you'd open the scriptures up for us this evening and that we'd see application for our lives tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing, let's just open up, please, to Matthew chapter 7. I've got that first verse written right there, Matthew 7:7, out of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. But to kind of lay a foundation for this, it's like this. God is sovereign. He's got a kingdom that he's sovereign over all. Everything falls within his kingdom. So we've got this big circle, and that is the kingdom of God. Because he's sovereign, he can make whatever choice he wants to make. He can make whatever he wants to make. And he has decided to create free-willed beings, people, us. And he's placed us inside of his kingdom. Now, the way it works in my mind, there's a big bubble of God's sovereign kingdom. And within that, there are little bubbles or little circles of us and the kingdoms that he's given us. And that's not radical teaching. That's not arrogant teaching. That's just simply the way God created the world. He created man with free will. He didn't create a bunch of robots, people that are just going to, you know, do whatever he told them to. Because it'd be like the difference between having a real moving train that carries passengers and having a toy train. The toy train's nice. It goes on track, goes around and around in circles. But we've got a real train out here. Now, which one do you want? You want the toy train that goes around the circles, or you want the real train? Or whatever example you want to come up with. God didn't create toy trains or pretend people. He didn't create a pretend universe that makes it look like we're all kind of interacting and doing our own thing, but really it's just going around in a circle. You don't really have free will. That's a goofy analogy, as far a goofy not example. My analogy may be goofy too, but that's a goofy world if that is where we live. We live in a world where God, who is sovereign over all, who is taking the world to a place that he wants to go, but has placed within there some real live kingdoms of their own, and we each have a kingdom. I have a kingdom. I'm the king of my soul. Whatever comes into my soul is my permission. And I protect my soul. I guard my soul. And what happens in my life begins to affect, and we have other kingdoms that we interact with each other, but we do have our own soul and a kingdom. And the decisions I make affect my world. I mean, that's a basic principle that America has lost as a society, is it what you are, and I was talking to someone the other day trying to get this through their head, is you are a product. What you are today is what you have decided to be. Now, it's like, well, you know, but life did this to me and this happened to me and, you know, I didn't have this opportunity and I'm not that smart and I don't have these talents. It's like, where you are at in history, what you've done, you are a product of the decisions you have made. Now, yeah, we've all been dealt things in life, certain abilities, certain talents, certain places where we were born, family, history, all these things have been dealt to us. But how you shuffle your cards and how you play your cards and what you do with that is going to put you at the spot you are today. Why did God do this to me? Sure, God in his sovereign kingdom is interacting in his kingdom and is moving our kingdoms around as he wants to. But within that sphere, within your soul, within your kingdom, you are in charge. And again, we know there's certain things that happen in our lives that God just does. Situations just bring across our paths. But until you realize that you have a soul, you have a kingdom, and how you respond to situations, it's your choice. And you can just say, well, I'm just going to stay right here. I'm just going to wait. Well, then in 20 years, you'll still be waiting. Or if you say, no, I'm going to make some decisions today and take myself to another place. It's like, well, you're rebelling against God. You're being arrogant. No, don't you remember the Garden of Eden? He created man and woman. He put them in the garden. He says, have dominion. You are in charge of the garden. If God was sovereign and had this big, just, you know, plastic people, then there's no, what is the whole deal about eating from the tree? Don't eat from the tree. But they did. Well, doesn't really matter. It's not really a real tree anyhow. It's like, no, Adam was in charge. He had dominion. He had authority. What Adam wants to do, Adam gets to do. And Adam decided to rebel against the bigger kingdom. Bad idea. Threw his kingdom into rebellion, his soul into rebellion against God's kingdom. And thus, here we are today. So Adam's decision was a real decision because Adam had real authority. Adam had a real kingdom that God, in his sovereignty, gave him. He didn't make Adam make that decision. He allowed it. Here it is. This is your kingdom, whatever you want to do. Adam made a bad decision. We've all made bad decisions. But we've got a kingdom that we're in charge of. Now, that leads us to this position now. The principle of asking. If you have a house, you know, you all have homes, there are certain things that come into your house, some things you bring into your house, some things that are trying to get into your house. For example, some things like telemarketers, you know, they're calling trying to get in. I don't want it. No, click, stop calling. But they're trying to get in. Some things are coming through the mailbox. Now things are coming through the email, coming in. It's like, I don't want this, but they're trying to get in. Some of the stuff is good. Some of the stuff, telemarketers, what is the deal? No, I don't think. You thought about it. A lot of them is like, absolutely no. Boom. But there are a lot of things in the world that we have in our house that didn't knock on the door, that weren't in our mailbox, didn't come in a catalog, we didn't see them on an advertisement. Maybe we drove down the street, we saw it on a billboard. Not even that. But there's some things that we say, this is what I want in my house. This is something I want. If it's an attitude, if it's a piece of property, if it's something you're going to purchase, you say, this is something that I want. I've never even seen a commercial. I just know this is what I'm looking for. I've bought a lot of things. Especially like in tools or something. You're working. It's like, boy, I saw a commercial about, you know, this tool. No, I realize this is the tool I need, so I go in search of the tool. I go down to Home Depot, Menards, Lowe's, someplace, and find the tool. This is what I want. That's not what I look. This is not what I want. I go to another store. I know what I'm looking for. I purchase it, and I bring it into my house. My example there is there are things in my house that are trying to get in, and there are some things in my house that I desire to have, and I'm going to go out and get them, or I'm going to create them, or I'm going to, if it's an attitude, I'm going to try and form that in my house. The same thing is true between us and God in our lives. There are things that I have in my life, or things, let's go this way, things I don't have in my life. Maybe it's an attitude that I need. Maybe I need to become more righteous. Maybe it's an opportunity I'm looking for. Maybe it's to repair a past sin. Maybe it's an opportunity to repair a damaged relationship. Something here that I say, I don't have this. Oh, well, I'll just wait. The Bible tells us, ask. Because there are certain things that God wants in your life. He wants, basically, his ideal universe is that in his sovereign kingdom, all the individual kingdoms that he's allowed to have free will all come in line with his bigger kingdom. Do you get that right there? Right now, we've got a bunch of bubbles, if you want to picture that way, floating around, all a bunch of them in rebellion towards the bigger kingdom. Now, he's trying to convince them to come in line with him, but these bubble kingdoms that are in rebellion are got their doors shut. They don't want anything from his kingdom coming in. But God is saying, hey, if you ask from my kingdom, you ask for this to be in your kingdom. Now let's stop thinking about new cars, okay? Let's stop thinking about money and all the nice things we can get. And let's start thinking about the characteristics of the kingdom of God. You see, how many times have we prayed, You know, God, I want this, I want this, and this is what I'd like to have happen in my life. Or how many times have we prayed, Lord, I want to be righteous. Lord, this is a fault I've got in my life. I want this changed. It's like, I tell you what, when you pray those prayers, it's amazing how quickly the doors of heaven open up and begin to come into your kingdom. Now you say, well, I want a better job. You know, I want a better this. I want more of that. It's like, that's really not what the kingdom of God is offering. Or that's not really not what they're interested at this point. But the kingdom of God has got things that they want to put into our lives which will change us. But as long as we remain in our bubble with our door shut, not looking for the things they've got to offer, we're going to go through our lives without this part of the kingdom of God being put into our lives. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, you know the verse. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Now that's a straight up statement. He says, ask and you will receive. Well, what do you mean? I mean anyone who asks will receive. You can't ask. Now again, I've got many things we're going to look at here tonight about the concept of asking. But you cannot ask for something that God wants to offer to your kingdom, something God wants to put into the world, something that God wants done. You cannot ask without God saying, exactly, I've been waiting for someone to open the door. He's not a telemarketer so much. He's not so much sending junk mail, but he is a merchant with things he wants to put in your lives. And until you realize this is what I want, he's waiting. And when you say, that's what I'm looking for, we've got that right here. We've been waiting for someone to come in and purchase this. We're waiting for someone to ask for this. And it gives you examples. Asking, seeking, and knocking. And you can see within that, that's more than materialistic things. And a lot of times, and I've been in different groups that went off the deep end on this, it's all about material possessions and proving how godly you are because you got all this stuff. Well, go ahead, see how that works. But this is talking here, seek and you'll find. I mean, right away in my mind, I think of Proverbs. You know, seeking for treasure, seeking for wisdom. The door will be open. I'm thinking opportunities. The door will be open. It's like I'm looking for something in my life. I want God to open this door of opportunity so I can become rich. Oh, okay. Or a door of opportunity of what is the kingdom of God about and what has your kingdom actually been formed for? Why did he give you a key to make your own decisions? And when you come to the recognition, God has got something he wants me to do. He's called me something. I've been formed for something and I'm not doing it. I'm not accomplishing it. Well, start knocking. Start seeking. Start asking. And it says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. You want to go through that door of opportunity. You really want that. Now, there's several reasons why we don't want that, but I'm going to say this right off the top of my head. A lot of reasons why when we ask, we seek, and we knock, and it doesn't come to pass. One, we forgot we asked. We got bored waiting. It was just a moment. Maybe it was after a church service. Maybe it was after you did see some kind of religious commercial. Maybe it was someone said something. It's like, yeah, I'm going to change my life, and I want, this is what I want. You know, then you go to sleep that night, you get up the next morning, have cornflakes, and it's like, you know, just same old, same old. This is going to take some concentration. He says if you ask, he's going to give it. He's going to respond. But the thing is, God's responding. He's not McDonald's. You don't drive through, beep your horn, make an order. I'm going to beep my horn at McDonald's. Why'd I say that? You don't drive through. Used to work drive-thru at McDonald's, but I have some stories there. But right here, he's going to provide for you, but you're going to have to be the one that does the asking and get ready. So let's look at this at the top of the page right here. We've got, I know what I was going to do. Let's just go down to page 3, please. I got several things. First of all, just the power of asking on page 3. Examples of the power of asking. These are just some Bible verses. Not necessarily real spiritual, but just examples of where people actually just went and asked. Now just think, if someone comes and asks you for something, I mean, a lot of times, if they ask you for something, if I after church tonight, I says, hey, Joel, can I have $5? Joel, you know what he would do? He would, if he didn't have one, he'd ask his wife for $5, and he'd give me $5. Why? Because I asked. Now again, if I did that all the time, something would be wrong. But it's like, a lot of times, if someone asks me for something, they say, can I borrow? Well, no, I'm not going to let you borrow any of this stuff. But you know, it's like, You know, if you ask, I got jumper cables in my car, in my trunk. If you says, hey, can I borrow those? Sure. But if you don't ask, you may need the jumper cables, and I've got the jumper cables, and there's not a reason in the world I wouldn't let you use them, but you never asked. If you'll simply ask, you can use them. In fact, you can probably have them. I'll get some more. But if there's no asking, you see the power of asking? We think, well, I want to be humble. I want to be meek. I don't want to intrude. I don't want to act like I'm needy. I don't want to take something from you. Now listen, we're talking about asking God right here. There's nothing you're going to ask God for. God, I need a pair of jumper cables. Man, I've only got one pair. Make sure you get them back to me. If you ask God for jumper cables, he can give you some. It's not going to break him. It's not going to hurt him. It wouldn't hurt me to give you my jumper cables. It's not going to hurt God to give you something from his kingdom. In fact, that's what he's got it designed for. Well, here's some examples of in Scripture. In Exodus 3:22, remember this. Moses was told, and the people were told when they left Egypt to go to the people of the Israelites were to go to the people of Egypt and ask them. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. And Exodus 11 verse 2, tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. So as you remember, when they got ready to leave after the 10 plagues, the people go, oh, wait, there's one more thing God told us to do. Ask the Egyptians for their gold. Think about it. Go to, yeah, hello, we're leaving the country tonight. Can I have your gold? Can I have that watch too? And any clothing that you might have that we could use as a family? Well, just a minute, let me back the car up. And they load up and they drive off. And God says, you will plunder the Egyptians. You will plunder them. How come? You're not going to burn their houses down. You're not going to raid their city. You're going to, can I have your stuff? Here, take it. They plundered them. They plundered the nation of Egypt by asking, can we have your stuff? There's a lesson there somewhere. This is a good one. 1 Kings 3:5, a very famous one, familiar one. This is Solomon when he was a young man, maybe as young as 17, 19 years old. He'd been offering offerings to the Lord during the day, and God came to him that night in a dream, in a vision. It says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now, we may think, and again, we've got to keep this in context, this is God speaking to Solomon, the king of Israel. But in the concept right there, I'm going to make our application. In a sense, God does that to every person. This is not a vision at night, but we've got it recorded right here. This is what God did. What do you want? Ask me for anything, and I'd like to give it to you. Now, depending on your answer is going to depend on really what takes place then the rest of your life. Solomon, as you know, asked for wisdom. He thought about a variety of things, but he says, I've got to lead this people. I've got to lead the people of God, and I'm a youth, and I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. God says, it's a great answer. That is exactly what the kingdom of God wanted to give to Solomon, wanted to give him wisdom. And then, as you know, it says there God says, well, you didn't ask for long life or the death of your enemies or riches or fame or all these things. These are things you didn't ask for. Instead, you asked for wisdom. And because you asked for wisdom, all these other things are going to come to you also. In other words, our asking has to have some kind of priority. What is important? I want a lot of money. Now, we know from people winning the lottery that really doesn't change their life. It's surprising. I would like to have my chance to prove that I could hang on to the money. I would like to try it. I think I could do well. But according to the statistics from what we've read, and people say their lives have not changed. After 5 years, they've gone through $1 billion, and they're right back to the same job they left when they won. They're right back right here. What happened? I just spent $1 billion in the last 5 years. Nothing changed. Because why? Because what you are, your life is who you are. I'm 46 years old, and where I'm at in history, where I've taken my life, is because that's who I am. If you gave me $1 million within 3 or 4 months, within a few years, I would be right back into the same position. How come? Unless something life-changing altered in my soul, in my kingdom, in my little universe, unless something changed inside of me, I'd work myself right back into the same position. Because that's who I am. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And I believe God, in a sense, is asking each one of us, what do you want? Now, again, I think there's a place where what you ask for, and if you're going to stick to it, It will come about. If what you want, okay, I want a worldwide ministry that's going to change nations. Okay. But the thing is, can you handle that? Can you wait long enough? Can you do the work that's going to get that done? It's like, well, no, probably not. And God may be pouring that on your life, but you can't handle it. It's too big. It's not who you are. And so sometimes watch this. Kids, you tell kids, you can be whatever you want to be. It's like, be careful with that. Some kids, you can play in the NFL if you want. It's like, no, very few people are going to play in the NFL. You can't live in the NFL. Most people could not live through the first quarter in the NFL, in the National Football League. You would get destroyed. Well, but I believe I can do it. You're not strong enough. You're not created to do that. So one of the important things is to find out who you are and a realistic goal. What is it you want? Don't ask for weird things, huge things. Ask for stuff like, I would like to have this relationship restored. Pray for that. God, I want this relationship. I'd like to have an opportunity to restore this relationship. Believe me, the doors of heaven have already opened. Things are already being manipulated. And the time is going to come where you're going to cross paths and you're going to have a chance to, maybe not in one magic moment, not in one little card, not in one, I just want to say I'm sorry. But you may begin a series of opportunities now that through the next 5-10 years, if you can stay focused on what God's doing and answering your request, the next 5 or 10 years, you're going to have that relationship restored. It's not going to happen to pow. You wish it could, but God is answering the request. Going on, another interesting one. There's the widow that had the children that are going to be sold into slavery in Elisha's day. And she needed money. And the prophet said, well, he said, I tell you what we're going to do. You go get jars from all your neighbors. Go and ask them for empty jars. And don't just ask for a few. Ask for as many jars as you can. And they emptied the neighborhood in jars. Luckily, it was trash day. They went through those little green boxes, took all the jars out, brought them all in there. They got a house full of jars. He said, now take this pitcher, which is just a normal pitcher, and start pouring oil in all those jars. And when they came to the very last jar, every jar they could ask for, every jar they could find, it filled up that last jar. In other words, what is your best effort? What is your best effort to go out and ask for as much as you can? There's enough oil to fill it up. If you've got the ability to ask for 50 jars, God can fill every one of those up. But he's going to run out at the same time you run out of asking. At the time that you run out of requests and that's all you could get, or maybe all you asked for was 3 jars. Fine, I can fill up 3, I can fill up 300. How many are you going to ask for? It all depended on God's response, depended on what they could ask for. And Psalm 218, going way off into the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, this is a verse as we've studied before in Psalm chapter 2 about God the Father handing the kingdom over to Jesus Christ, or saying that he's going to be the Lord of the world or the King of all the nations. It says he's installed his king in Zion. And he says to Jesus, God the Father says to Jesus, or God the Father says to the Son, says, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. In other words, it was God's plan in Jesus, his kingdom, that Jesus was going to have his kingdom on the earth. It was God's plan to hand all of the nations over to the Messiah. That's God's plan. But what does it say right here that God asked the Son to do? Before I give them to you, I want you to ask me for them. Do you really want them? You understand, your desire, what is in your heart, what you need, is reflected in what you do. For example, if I'm hungry, I'm going to find food. I'm hungry right now. And when I get done, I'm going to Casey's. I'm going to buy food. There's a desire in me for food. I'm going to go get it. When I'm tired, I go to sleep. If Jesus wants to rule the world, if the Messiah wants to rule the nations, it's going to be demonstrated some way. And one of the ways it's going to be demonstrated is he's going to say, can I rule the nations? Can I have this? Guess it, yes, exactly. And now, if there's desires in your heart, if there's things that God wants to bring about in your life, he's waiting for you to finally realize, hey, I'm hungry, I'm going to go get some food. I'm tired, I'm going to go to sleep. Hey, I want your will in my life. I want to do what you've called me to do. I want this in my life. We've been waiting for you to ask. Now again, this is more than just a little prayer. This is more than just some little corny little, devotional going through. This is going to become a lifestyle. Do you really want to rule the nations? Yeah, I do. Well, okay, here's the schedule. You're going to become the Savior. You're going to go to the cross. You're going to be resurrected. You're going to have the church age. You're going to be ascended into heaven, and then you're going to return. I've lost your attention. Now, that's 2,000 years of history right there, and you've lost focus. In fact, this goes back 1,000 years before that. So this verse was written 1,000 B.C. It's good, and not even here yet. He says, ask of me. And Jesus would have asked, I want to rule the nations. And as far as we know, it goes back into eternity past. Do you want to rule the nations? Yes, I do. I ask that I can rule the nations. Okay, well, it'll be a few millenniums now, and we'll get there. In other words, the things you ask for are not always going to happen instantaneously. It's going to take a while to get there. Let's go very quickly, please, to page 1. And here's some principles of asking. This goes on. There's just a couple verses here that are duplicated in all the verses I've got typed out here. There's a couple that are duplicated. But otherwise, this is a nonstop flow from Genesis through the end of the Bible of just asking verses. Just little principles that we see. Principle number 1. Ask God first for your needs and desires. And again, we're not just, when you take a subject like this, you can paint yourself into a corner. And I've almost painted this into seeking God's will for your life. See, I went too far with that. That is involved in this. But this is more than just asking for God's will in your life. This is asking, what do you want? What do you want? What do you need? Go to God first. The first example we've got here, Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. As they're coming back from Babylonian captivity, they're going to pray before they leave. And they prayed, thereby Ahava Canel, I proclaimed a fast, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and our children with all of our possessions. So before they began the journey, they're saying, we're going to ask and we're going to demonstrate the seriousness that we are serious about asking for protection. We're going to fast. And we're going to fast in a state of fasting. We're going to say, God, we're going to begin a journey, a dangerous journey back to the promised land, which is a dump right now in their time. And it's going to be dangerous. People don't want us to come back. We're going to ask for your protection. And so we are going to expect that your divine hand is going to be with us, with our children, and yes, faithful Americans, our possessions. We want our possessions protected also. Well, I don't know if that's something you should pray about. Well, Ezra did. And he's one of the mightiest men in the Bible. Now, the next thing we got in that same... We're going to come back to that topic. Don't forget what I just said. We're going to come back to that same situation here in a moment. 1 Timothy 5:5. Look at this. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. So there's a situation. We're going to see this verse again later. I'm going to use this again later. But there's a situation. A widow who is in need, who needs help, what does she do? Goes to God. Asks God. I need help. There it is. Basically, what's that got to do with the kingdom of God? It's not to do with the kingdom of God. It's got to do with the widow's, her own kingdom. I need help in my kingdom. Go to God for desires, for needs. Number 2, this one's going to be throughout the Bible, especially in Jesus' teaching. If you ask, then you should plan on Him doing what He said. If you ask, He says, ask and you will receive. Well, you just prayed. What are you going to do now? Now watch. Ezra prays, God, give us protection on our journey back to the land. Well, now the king comes. They fasted. They prayed. They had a little get-together. They all had a ceremony. But then he goes on in verse 22, the next verse. Because he fasted, because he asked God for protection, because he thinks God heard him, he says, I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from our enemies on the road because we had told the king. The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to Him, but His great anger is against all who forsake Him. So Ezra, he mouthed off. He says, I don't know if you guys can make it out there. Ezra says, no, king, let me tell you something about our God. If you seek Him and you ask Him, His hand is guiding and protecting you. But what you need to look out for is if you're living in rebellion, because then He's against you. Wow, Ezra, that's a pretty good sermon. Do you want me to send some soldiers to protect you? After my sermon, I had to say no. We don't need protection. Why? Because we prayed. God's hand of protection is with us. Now, this is not an excuse to be presumptuous, but it's just interesting right there. He prays and seeks God and asks for protection. And when the king says, hey, you need protection? No. No, we don't. Because I believe God is going to show up and protect us. Now, again, God can show up and protect you in a variety of ways. And it may be the soldiers that he's going to use to protect you. It's like that story, you know, the story about the guy that was, his whole neighborhood is being flooded. You know the story? And a guy comes by in his Jeep or whatever, says, hey, you better get out. We're getting flooded. You got to get out of town. Get out of the neighborhood. He's, no, God's going to take care of me. And then here comes in the priest, and the water's coming up the door, and he can't get out in his yard. And the guy's come by in a boat paddling. It's like, we want to get in quick. You got to go. We're going to get flooded. He's, no, God is going to protect me. Well, then, of course, he water keeps rising. He's up the roof. He's up sitting on the roof waiting for God. And the helicopter comes over. It's like, hey, we're going to throw you a rope. Get on. You're all going to drown down there. No, we're trusting God. Well, the water continued to rise, and the guy drowned and went into heaven. He says, God, I asked for protection. I asked for help. Why didn't you? He said, I showed up three times. The car, the boat, the helicopter. It's like, so it doesn't have to be like, you know, God himself coming down on a cloud delivering you. It could be somebody else. Matthew, turn the page to page 2, Matthew 21:22. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Jesus said that, you'll receive. If you pray, you need to believe you're going to receive it. Now, dude, man, there's been so many people goof this up. I mean, it becomes a whole doctrine in itself right there. Churches are formed just on this kind of teaching right here. But nonetheless, Jesus still said it. If there's something that you ask God for, you've got to understand that it may not come, pow, there it is. But it's going to be, God is now moving his universe, moving his kingdom to respond to the request from your kingdom, and it is going to begin to take place. It is going to begin to form. And if you don't believe your prayer, you prayed, dear God, help me. No help? I guess he's not going to answer. It's like, yeah, he is. He's moving. He's about to take, there's a process he's going to go through. Part of God's kingdom is he created time. He created this real world. Just like we're real people with real free wills, we live in a real world that's got real time. It takes time for things to grow. Plants take time to grow. Kids take time to grow. God's purpose, as he begins to answer your prayer, sometimes takes longer than we thought it would. But he is responding. So you've got to believe that you've received. It's not some kind of wishful thinking, but did you pray? Did God hear you? Well, then keep going. It's going to take place. There's many answers, many other things here as we go. Number 3, ask for things that are in his obvious will. You want a prayer answered quick? Then pray something that's clearly his will. Dear God, Tony's mom tells a story when she was probably about 40, I guess. She's in a Bible study, and she was, you know, praying prayers, and she realized she needed more patience. She had 6 kids. She needed more patience. So she prayed, you know, God, I need more patience with my kids. She got pregnant. She's got 7 kids. And you know, I don't know if that's true. I mean, it's a true story. I'm not sure if that's all. But it's like, dear God, give me patience. It's like, God wants to give you patience. That is a virtue of the Spirit of God that he wants in your life. And listen, you pray, God, change me, make me more Christ-like. Okay. Well, it's like, I was hoping it would come like in an envelope or something. You know, it's like, no, it's going to come through this situation. And so, that's just an example. But if you pray, for example, Matthew 9:38, Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Meaning, there's a prayer. He said, pray. Ask God. Now, why, if this asking principle isn't true, why would Jesus say to his disciples, you better ask God to send out workers in the field? It's like, well, he will if he wants to. Well, he wants to, but it's your fields. It's your country. It's your people. It's your community. Do you want people in your community working in the fields? Well, yeah, if God, we're God's people. It's like, well, it's your community. Understand, he's got a kingdom plan, and he is going to move forward with the kingdom. The kingdom is going to come. What are you going to do with your kingdom? Well, you know, God's working our kingdom. It's your kingdom. Do you want workers in your kingdom? Ask. He wants to send workers, but it's your kingdom. He's waiting for people to ask. Another one, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If it's clearly in God's word, if it's clearly in God's character that this is his will, you've got to know, John says, you've got to know that when you pray, God, you know, help us reach the community. He heard you. He's moving. He's now following through with your request. But you're going to have to hold your ground. He's not going to just, boom, there, I reached him. What's your next request? He's not, you know, I dream a genie. You know, it's like, how'd you do the nod or head or something like that? So he's going to have to take a process to get it done. Number four, asking is an expression of your will. We already mentioned this before. There is a power within your desires. I already used the food example, the lonely example, the tired example. If you want something, you're going to go get it. If you want something from God, you're going to express that. You're going to express your desires and your will by asking Him. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, asking it will be given to you, seeking you will find, knocking the door will be opened. Luke 10:2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Now, I've used those verses before, but notice they're in different books. Number five. This is exciting, but this is really exciting. The power of agreement. If one person's expressed will makes a difference, then two people are better. And Jesus said this. Again, He says, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by My Father in heaven. Say you're praying for your community. That's God said, okay, I'm moving in your kingdom. But if two people come and begin to say the same, it's like now you've got two kingdoms on earth praying, two souls, two desires. We want an impact in our kingdom. It multiplies. Listen, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. You know that whole verse about one will set 100 to flight and 2 1,000 to flight or something like that. 1 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. I was going to look that verse up so I got it straight. But it's not. If one sets 1,000 to flight, then 2 sets 2,000 to flight. It's if one sets 1,000 to flight, 2 sets 10,000 to flight. Meaning we've just doubled ourselves twice, but the production is what? Is that 10 times greater? Is that right? Mathematically? Okay. So, I mean, there's a multiplication factor of people coming together with their wills, I call them kingdoms tonight, but bringing your will, this is what I want in my world. And you bring two wills together, or two or three or four kingdoms together, you bring a whole body of Christ together and pray for something, you have people on this earth, in this community, saying, we want this to happen. And God's saying, it's being done. I'm coming right there now. So, the power of agreement. Two people express the same desire will have a multiplying effect. Number six. Now listen. The problem with that is it becomes religious. You get the place full of people. You post it up here. We're all going to pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer now. It's like, I prayed so many prayers I didn't mean. Oh, did I say that out loud? Oh, okay. Sorry. You're all holy and righteous. But then how many times you say, bow your head, and we all pray a prayer. It's kind of like, it's like, what did I just pray? I don't know. But there are prayers that I have prayed, things that I have asked for, not once, not twice, but I have asked for it over and over and over and over again. And I'm not stopping because that is what I want to happen. I want this. And you know what? There's power in that prayer. Not because it's my prayer. Not because it's, well, he's the Bible teacher. He's got the fast lane to heaven. You know, he's got the hotline. It's because that is what I want. And that is something I'm sticking with. There's other things I pray nonchalantly. It's like God didn't even begin to answer the prayer because he forgot it. He didn't even remember what he just prayed. Never mind. The angels are moving to action. It's like, I might as well sit back down. He forgot. It's like there's got to be a will that wants to receive it. It's not like these magical requests. You put it on paper and send it off, and God's got this big list of orders. Like, what's next today? It's like, well, this one's 3 weeks old. Well, he's still waiting. It's like, no, he's not still waiting. He may have forgotten already. Number six, accomplishing God's will is our purpose. John 14:13. Jesus says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. In other words, God the Father has a will. Jesus came to accomplish that will, and Jesus is doing the Father's will in His ministry and today through the church. Now, if you want to get in line with that, God's will being done through Jesus, being done through the church, and now you want to participate, and you say, I want this to be done, Jesus says, that's where we're headed. He said, I will do that because my job, Jesus says, is to bring glory to the Father by accomplishing my will, and if you want to participate, I'm going to do that very thing. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Of course, it's important to know what Jesus is trying to get done in order to pray that prayer. Now, that's talking about God's will. But, again, don't let me get you too sidetracked on this. Well, we can only pray what God wants. Remember, if He gave you a free will, and he gave you a kingdom, he gave you a soul, and you let things in and you put things out, whatever, you're the product of your own decisions. If that is where you're at, then you can do things with your kingdom for his kingdom, and we've been talking about that. But there are things within your kingdom that you want. Are you ready? It may have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It's what you want in your kingdom. I want green carpet. Well, what does God want? God doesn't care. He gave you a kingdom. What color carpet do you want? I want green. I don't know. I got to ask God. No, you don't. He don't care. Do you understand? There's a line. It's like you can. There's a place to follow God's will, and there's a place to say, okay, hey, I'm created in God's image, and I have a will of my own. This is what I want. Now, we're talking about righteous decisions here. We're talking about being a righteous person, thinking like God thinks, and saying, this is what I'm going to do. And at that point, you can pray, Lord, I want this. Now, the problem with teaching this way is people forget about the kingdom of God and just run this whole doctrine over here into their own little kingdom. I want green carpet on a big TV, flat screen on the wall. And it's like, well, now I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's not the entire purpose of the asking principle. Solomon was commended because he asked for wisdom to accomplish God's will, and these other things were given. What would the story have been if Solomon would have said, I want a lot of money. I want riches. Well, you see, God might have given him the riches, but he wouldn't have been able to handle them. He wouldn't have been ready for them. And you can ask for ridiculous things, and God may just give them to you, let it slip through your fingers. Here it is. See, you couldn't handle it anyhow. But there is a place of asking for your own will or whatever you want for your own purpose. John 14:13. And here's another verse. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Son may bring glory to the Father. Wait, that's a different verse. Number 7. When we desire what God is trying to do, then nothing will be impossible. John 14:14. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. John, you understand? This is a lot of verses here with the same kind of idea of you ask and I'm going to do it. It's not like it's a hidden verse in the Bible, somewhere an obscure, weird verse that if you ask, God's going to answer your prayer. It's straight up part, it's a doctrine. You ask, I'm going to do it. I'm listening, I'm waiting. I've got everything you need. Do you want it? John 16:23. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Number 8. We can ask for things that we simply want for our own kingdom. Here, I finally found it. This is what I was talking about. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Don't get hung up on the magical believe. You got to believe. That's not how the Mets won the pennant in 1969. They were just better. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Have you asked for it? Well, then it's yours. You have the right to ask for it in prayer. 1 John 5:15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. And number 9, fulfilling God's will requires us to receive his provision. And number 10, accomplishing our purpose and God's will brings us joy. And he talks about his joy being complete. Now, reasons for people not asking. Now, sometimes people don't ask. Sometimes I don't ask. Sometimes I'm going through life, I'm dragging life along with me, trying to do what's right, it's like, wait, have you asked God? No, I don't want to burden God, this is my burden. It's like, no, ask God. He wants to dispel power into your life. He wants to help you with this. It's my own problem, it's my own mistake, I'll do. So there's reasons people don't ask. First of all, number 1, pride. They're self-sufficient. They don't want to ask God. Now this may sound, listen, this is where religion and false humility just start to just really stink. It's like, well, I'm going to be humble and I'm not going to ask God. No, you are commanded over, do we need more verses? Ask God. You cannot do it. Ask God. It says for self-sufficient, or number B, letter B, rebellion. If you remember back in Isaiah chapter 7, when Isaiah the prophet came to talk to King Ahaz and says, don't worry about these kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel up north and the kingdom north of them with Arameans. He says, don't worry about them. And King Ahaz didn't want to hear the prophet. He was in rebellion towards God. And the prophet said, Isaiah says, ask for a sign. I've given you the word. Now I'm going to give you a sign that when you see the sign, you'll know that what I've promised you is God's promise to you. So you'll have faith in it. And he says, but Ahaz says, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. In other words, sometimes people, you have a chance. God can solve this. I know there's times in my life that God could resolve this. God could solve this. But Galen will not ask. I want to fight the fight. I want to hold my ground. I want to keep my attitude. If I pray about this, I'll have to change. No, I'm not. Well, there's King Ahaz right there in my own heart. I'm doing the very same thing. Number two, fear. And once you get to this concept, and once you think about this, you will think twice. I want a worldwide ministry. Lord, I want to reach the nations. Oh, no. No, I just want a nice seat at church would be fine for me. Because the fear of the responsibility and the expectations. I mean, if you believe God will give you what you ask for, and you are actually going to take that and begin to apply that to your life, holy smokes, things will have to change. I'll have to get up earlier. I mean, it's like things don't get done because you pray. God begins to move in your life, and you are the one that, listen, we live in a real world. It's your kingdom. You're going to build it. You're going to do the work. Oh, I don't want that big of a kingdom. Everybody wants a big house. But then when it comes time to build it, pay for building it, heat it, maybe smaller. B, or the requirements, repenting, and then, of course, that obedience thing. God, yeah, I'll do that. You want that? Yeah, okay, here's how we're going to go. I don't want to go that way. Well, you're going to have to be obedient to the plan of God. Maybe you ask for green carpet in your house. Okay, well, this is where I want you to go buy it. No, I don't want to buy it at that place. I don't like that guy. Well, you got to follow God's plan. So fear of responsibility, fear of requirements. Another one, lack of knowledge. You just didn't know. Knowledge of God's principle. Listen, this whole thing about asking, people call it prayer and different things like this. They just kind of throw it out there, prayer, just pray. Pray about it. No, no. I'm telling you, go ask for it. Go to the kingdom of God and I want this in my life. You can call it prayer if you want to. But a lot of times people don't even teach this. That's why James writes in chapter 1, verse 5 of James. This is the first chapter. This is James, Jesus' brother, stepbrother if you need to say it that way. But this is James, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Around 67, no. Probably more like 48 AD, 47 AD. He has to tell his people, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. No, that's chapter 1, verse 5. And James is telling his people, hey, if you're lacking wisdom, have you thought of asking God? No, I never thought of that. Well, let's go to God and ask. I want you to notice, tying this back into the Solomon story I said earlier, Solomon was told, what do you want? And he says, I want wisdom. And I says, God is saying that to every one of us. What do you want? What do you want? That's not clear enough. Look at this verse right here. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously. That says right there, if any of you, not just Solomon, if any of you lack something, ask. So some of us just don't know. We forget. I know I forget. I know because I'm preaching it, but I forget. I get going through life. It's like, this is one of those things where you should have like a little sign above the door before you go to work. Did you ask? Ask for what? Today, everything. Have you asked God to be there? Of man's kingdom potential. They're ignorant of the whole fact that, you know, that whole sovereignty of God just really twists people out of sync with what God is doing. Well, God just does what he wants to. Yes, he does in the big picture, but within there is your kingdom. He is not, you are not here tonight because God made you come. Your kingdom, your soul, your free will decided, I'm going to go. You are here. Now, again, we can make that big speech, you know, like each one of you, God has brought here specially. Okay, there's a truth of that too, but I mean, you made the decision to come here, or tomorrow, next time, you may not come. It's going to be your choice. And they don't have the concept of us having our own kingdom. Number four, asking the men something that you should be asking God. Asking people for advice, asking people for help, asking people for this. It's like, have you asked God? Well, look at this right here, the verse. It's not a great verse, but Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. Jesus going through his ministry, and the disciples, they want to ask him about something. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said? And he goes on and talks a little bit. In other words, I got a question for Jesus. I don't know. They're talking. He says, are you asking each other? He says, I know you want to ask me. Ask me. Ask me the question. That's why I told you the story. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't understand what he's talking about. I don't know. Me either. What do you think he meant? I don't know. Should we ask him? No, I'm going to ask him. You ask him. What do you think? I don't know. He said, hey, do you want to know the answer? Well, I was just asking Peter. Peter was asking me, but yes, we want to know. He said, Jesus, just ask me. And so a lot of times people don't ask, or they ask people what they should be asking God. And what else we got here? Oh, there's one more thing. Oh, yeah, on the very back page. I want to do this quickly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a good one. This whole night in itself right here. Problems. Why we do not receive. These are reasons why we do not receive. You asked, but it didn't work. It didn't work. First one we're going to do is, let's jump down to number 7. Let's do number 7 first, get it out of the way. I asked, but he didn't do it. It didn't happen. Right. Because remember, he's got the big kingdom. He's got the big plan. He's got the big picture, and he's moving this way. And you ask for something that he doesn't want to do. See, now that discourages people right away. It's like, well then why pray? Why ask? If he didn't want, because God says no. Because you understand, not every prayer falls into the category, you're in the way of God. I can't stop the big machine. I'm going this way, and you've got to have this happen to you. It's like, sometimes, yes. We've all been in that in life. It's like, God is going this way. That's what's going to happen. Go with it. That's it. You've been dealt another card. Now what do you do? Well, God, well, for I want to ask you to help me with this card, you know. Number 7, not God's will. God's purpose will and should always override your desires. Now, if you agree with that, well, I'm sorry. It still is going to override your desires. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Paul said, 3 times. 3 times I pleaded, Greek, cried out with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient. That's your card. Do you want help handling that card? He says 3 times, I don't want this card. 3 times. He prayed 3 times. I don't want this card. I want to redeal. God says, no. He says, my grace is sufficient for you to play that card. So Paul says, okay. And Paul learned that because God's kingdom was going that way, there was a power taking his kingdom that way. I'll keep the card. And the card actually, this is working. It's not what he wanted. It's not the thing that he, as a human, would have chosen. It's not anything he asked for. He definitely didn't ask for it. But it's like, as it gets going, the kingdom of God's moving this way, it's like, this is working. And God's grace empowered him to handle that card. So sometimes you can ask, and listen, don't take this as a discourage. Oh, I shouldn't even ask God. I'll just like trust God. No, God is asking you. There are many choices, many things in life that he is leaving up to you. There's some things he's doing. But please don't stop asking because God has got his own will and is doing certain things. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That means if it's not according to his will, he's not going to do it. Let's go to the top now. Number 1. Why do we not receive? Number 1, we do not ask. That's what we saw in James. James 4, this is a different verse. James 4, verse 2. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You have not because you do not ask God. You do not ask God. And understand what's taking place right here is people are striving for something. Maybe they're striving for the green carpet. Maybe they're striving for God's will. But instead of striving and asking God, they're fighting and quarreling amongst them. This is all human effort. Just relax. Have you asked God for this? Well, no. We're trying to stop brother so-and-so. And it's like just, he says, you're stop and ask God. You do not have because you don't even ask. You didn't stop and ask God to help you. You're too busy, watch, in your own kingdom with your own power doing what you wanted to do instead of asking God to help you. James continues, the wrong desires. Besides not asking, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you've got the wrong desires. Then he says, and that was James chapter 4, verse 2. Now the very next verse, James 4, 3, when you ask, or when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. In other words, what you're asking for is not even close to being something that God wants to do. You're asking for this and that, and it may sound, oh, God, give me a worldwide ministry changing the nations. But your motive is so everybody knows your name. You know, go to Cheers and everybody knows your name. It's like, that. I'm not going to give you a worldwide ministry so you can be famous. I'm going to give you a worldwide ministry because we want to change the world. But your prayer's not being answered. Why? You don't have the right motive. You don't even have the character. You don't even have the character to handle the answered prayer. Number three, failure to obey or failure to please Him. 1 John 3:22, and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and we do what pleases Him. Receive what we ask because we obey and we please Him. Number four, the inability to believe. And again, that could be, along with number five, the inability to wait and endure. If you don't believe, you're not going to wait. If you can't wait, you're not enduring, it's not going to come to pass. So those kind of come together. Number six, the inability to manage and accomplish what you have asked for. Things we ask for require us to demonstrate responsibility and management. You cannot receive successfully something that you do not have the capacity for. And I try to come up with two quick examples. It's like the first-year guitar player wanting to give a concert. Well, it's like, you're not ready to give a concert. God, I want to do this. It's like, you're not ready to do this. You can't manage it. You can perform at that level. Oh, I still want to do it. Make me great. Make me good enough. It's like, well, I am, but it's going to take longer than next weekend. And number C, you cannot see something you cannot handle, like a five-year-old wanting a horse. Kids always ask for stuff that they can't. It's like, you can't feed it. You couldn't pay for it. I don't want a horse because I'd be taking care of the horse. God doesn't want to give you something that He's going to have to take care of. If you really want this in your kingdom, well, you got to be able to handle it. Because God is, we are working with God. If you're ready to handle it, He'll give it to you. But you're asking for something that if He gave it to you, your next prayer would be, God, help me with this. It's like, well, no, you're not ready for it, so I'll give you a gerbil. Yeah. There's a message in there somewhere. The principle of asking. We have kingdoms, we have souls, and what we ask for, God is giving to us. God is reaching out, participating in our lives. It's our choice. One of the biggest problems that we want to avoid is not asking, simply not asking. Not understanding this principle. It goes from Genesis all the way through the Bible, of Jesus, of the writers of the Old Testament, John the Apostle saying, ask. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. A lot of things factor into that, like waiting and working and being responsible, but God is going to hear your prayers. Father, do thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement. We ask that we may be a people who will stand fast, that we will pray the big prayers, that we will ask for the things that you want us to ask for, things that we cannot even imagine, as Ephesians says, things that we can even ask, or we can ask things that we can't even imagine what you're going to do. But Father, we do ask that we may have the strength to do this and encourage us to continue to walk in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just have another verse there. I couldn't even quote it. Ephesians. What's that verse in Ephesians? I got it written down here. Yeah, it's now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that works where? Within us. His power that's working within us can do more than we can ask or imagine. So whatever you ask for, you've got more power in you. Hey, that's next week. Any questions?